Hi everyone, this is Mike J, and welcome back again to our practical. This is the second practical, and we are on our way. What I'm going to do is get right into that. You may want to check the resources. If you're just joining us for the first time, you may want to check this introduction here. And of course, here's our first practical. Got a lot of feedback from that session, and I'll see if I can improve with the work that we continue to do in helping you understand the practical use of this system. So I'm going to jump over here to ChatGPT, and you'll see there some of the recommendations we worked through after the after action review was done, and we had the transcript and things like that. So I'll just ask Chat GPT, if it's ready. Are you ready for practical demo number two? It's been, a few days since I've been back here. And it always has to talk to itself like a typical introvert would. I'm going to ask it a question. Let me write it out first. It's a complicated question. And before I tell you what the question, let me write it first. And then before I tell you what it is, I want to tell you one other thing before we get started about selective. Of course, you can see the video, but for those of you on audio, you can't. Okay, before I send that to ChatGPT, I want to remind you that the S is extremely important. And the reason that I put a colon there with S dis X, you can see it right here in the ChatGPT window. The S, the selection, is a ratio. In other words, what you select to work on is a ratio of the total number of things you could work on in creating an experience for people. Because most of the time, I would say 99.5% of the time, what you say to people, they don't really hook up with. And what you're looking for is that 0.5%. Where there is an opening, it's part of optimal. The zero stands for opportunity, and opportunity, the first letter, is opening. When you're looking for an opening, based on everything that you've heard so far, that would provide leverage in the space where the problem that you're looking for disappears. Now, let me unpack that. The reason I'm saying that is, if you remember, I said it's a lot less expensive in my team. Money, information, time, energy, attention, and motivation. We all have a my team that we're willing to invest. Most of us spend it. What I'm going to try to do is to help you selectively invest it. And when you have that opening, you can take a shot at where the person is or isn't to understand what it's going to take to get to what they need to be able to do in order to find problems well, and then decide whether or not that they're actually problems or symptoms, and that they could go away if they shifted X or Y or Z. In other words, when we look at helping, we're actually looking at various layers, levels, and phases of problem solving. And for instance, when we look at like customer service, they would be at like the most concrete level, because what somebody is doing is coming to you and saying, "I, you sold me this, you gave me this, I am using this, it comes from you. Tell me something." Okay, that's a very concrete stage of helping. But we get in the work that we do with more sophisticated helping systems on the other side of complexity into very complex sets of ideas that have many variables and delays in cause and effect and all those kind of things. That's a moniker of complexity. Lots of variables, unintended consequences, orders of consequence, delays in cause and effect. That's complexity if you were going to nail it down. So what I've done here, and what I wanted to start this session with, is if you choose one important thing that would motivate you to take an important first step to realizing your goals, can you name it? Now, ordinarily, you will not think of asking this complex a question, because what I've done is I've deconstructed, no, I've compressed IMO into this particular inquiry. And I just, the reason I'm doing it is because ChatGPT is doing its thing, which is exactly what I want it to do, because I have no idea what it's going to say right now. But I wanted to see if I can take, and remember last time I told you, oh, I think ChatGPT is doing very well with this work, but it's also being cryptic, which means I don't really know what it's thinking because of what it's saying. Okay, that may be a way to think, because it's thinking something, it's offering something, but I'm not sure where to go meet that, because it's cryptic. It's a little confusing, because it doesn't seem to nail down specifically where it's coming from. Okay, so I gave it some thought after the after action review, and I thought, why don't I just try something that I might try with someone who doesn't always want help? In other words, someone that's reluctant or resistant to helping, to intervention, to whatever, and see how it would handle an inquiry that asked it to say more about what it was as it names the issue. And I'll take it from there. But I don't know what ChatGPT is going to say, so we'll just wait and see what it says. So I'll go ahead and enter that right now. If you choose one important thing that would motivate you to take an important first step to realizing your goals, can you name it? And what I've done there is I've tried to encapsulate or compress IMO into one, I don't know how many words that one. It looks like it's about 20 tokens, maybe, something like that. You know, a token is just 3 to 5 letters, something like that, usually. Okay, now it answered yes. Interesting, because everybody says if you asked a closed-end question, the person has the option of responding yes or no, and nothing else. And some introverts will automatically put this up as a defense system to give them more time in which to deliberate about what they would really say. So it's almost like they allow what it is you're saying to hit them, but the lieutenant has been taught by the general. We haven't talked about lieutenant in general. Lieutenant is the auxiliary function in the introvert that's doing the work on the outside world. Where the extroverts, they work in the outside world with their dominant function. The introverts work with their auxiliary function. So the lieutenant is trained by the introverted general, the dominant function, which we never get to interact with because it's in the inside. And they say, look, let's do things in order for us that are good for us, that give us more time to think, that if we go off script with something, in other words, if they say something that catches us without a script to feed back, it might be best for us to delay. Not bad, but good. And so you get yes, and then ChatGPT as the entity goes ahead. The important thing would be starting small enough that the first step is real, not idealized. Now, again, you're dealing with something that's seemingly intelligent and that may not be saying exactly what you want it to say. And so how would you get that back? Well, I'm just going to, looking at that, I saw several openings, okay? The first opening is the important thing. And then the next one would be starting small enough. Okay, and even there's another opening, would be. What's the difference between would and is? Those kind of things. First step is real, not idealized. And so here's what I'm going to do. Rather than try to compete in an arena where I don't exactly understand where the entity is coming from, where this response is coming from, what is the thinking behind it, I don't want to go too far and make an assumption right now. So I would rather be led by this process than take it over and force the tension back to me. In other words, I want the tension to remain in the problem finding, in the problem solving, in the entity, in the helping person being helped. I don't want to take that on because as soon as I take that on, then I got to start making assumptions, especially if I've got a queue. In other words, people waiting for me to get to them. If I've got a queue, I may feel pressure in and of itself to kind of hurry this up, get it done. Okay. In this particular case, I don't know where the entity is coming from. I think I do, but it's not a good idea to make an assumption with very limited information. And therefore, we need more information. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back and say, mimicking back. I'm pretty sure I'll get a cryptic response. First step is real. That's the way I would say it. Yes, the important thing would be starting small enough that the first step is real, not idealized. Well, I can choose those openings, or I could do something else. And I'm going to show you what I'm going to do, what I could have done here in the next step. But I want to try this first. Okay, so this is what we're doing. We're helping, and we're trying to figure out where this entity or person is, the person being helped, the entity being helped, where they are, so you can go there where they are. Now, there's a reason for that. There's a canon reason why you want to be within about a third of a level away from where they are. You can miss it plus or minus a third. In fact, you can probably miss it plus or minus by a half level if you have some idea that the person is, how would I say it, in transition or broadening their current nodal state. In other words, there's an entering state, a nodal state, and an exiting state at each level. So depending on where the person is, if you're plus or minus one third, plus or minus one half, then they can assimilate what it is that you're talking about. If you're not within plus or minus a half, at least, you're going to end up talking under or over them, and they're not going to really want to or be able to assimilate, depending on which side of that you're on, what it is you're doing. That's why Argyris in the Flawed Advice in the Management Trap talked about what I call BDKS, BDK. S, behaviors, design, KSEs, and system. In other words, if you don't specify the specific behaviors, if you don't have a direct cause and effect line, if the person doesn't have the capability or the knowledge, skills, and ability, or the voltage, we'll teach you about that later, they will not be able to follow the advice if the system doesn't empower them or support them. In other words, I could give one of my people being helped, I would say, be bold, innovate. But if the culture does not support that, in fact, in most cultures, they punish it because you're getting too far out ahead of things, and you're getting rid of friction versus producing friction. And remember, friction is a way of allowing us to not be as intelligent as we need to be, but also creating the time for loops of intelligence to get us where we need to be. Okay, that's what friction does. In other words, if I tell somebody to do something and they don't do it for a week, and I come back and say, did you do that? And they say, well, I wasn't sure of X, Y, and Z. And then you give them X, Y, and Z, and then they don't do it for another week, and then they come back with another thing. That's friction. In other words, you put something in a system and it takes 2 weeks or 4 weeks or a year to get through the system. That's friction. So friction is really used in places where the person probably needs more time to think about things. And it's a very valuable tool, by the way, and I'm not saying it's bad. The bad thing about it is when you're working with an entity like we are with ChatGPT here, you'll notice that there's very little friction because the response is almost immediate, even though I think we set it to thinking. I'm not sure I did this time, but I'm because sometimes it resets itself because they're always playing games with how many tokens and how fast you use them and stuff like that. But in this particular case, the friction is gone because the intelligence is so quick. And so that's not a good thing because you use the friction of a conversation to actually allow yourself to track where you are, where they are, and to step back from where you are to try to understand where they are. And that's why it's helpful in dynamic inquiry, learning these different forms about if I don't add new material to my request, or I don't take the entity or the person being helped off the subject, then they have to sort of work with what they said already. That's what I'm doing here. Okay, so let's set this up. Better make it an inquiry, put a question mark there. Let's go ahead and see what happens now. Okay. This is an interesting response. My response was first step is real. Okay, again, they said that. Those were exactly their words. They were not mine. So I have only interjected the notion of choosing that particular. I'm still in the lead because I chose that particular opening. At the same time, if I don't want to choose an opening, then I told you there was something else that I could do instead of mirroring that back. Okay. So, and remember, I'm not summarizing it. Well, it sounds like what you're saying is blank, blank. No, you don't want to do that because that's an interpretation. And that's part of the problem we have with AI. In other words, AI is very good at interpreting things, but they're not very good at interpreting things in terms of all the complexity that's required to know where someone is. They give you the response based on what is the next pattern or the next response that that pattern would generate, you see? So when we're working with people, working with AI, both the same thing. You want to be very careful about what it is you actually say. And if you introduce new material, then you have to be able to respond to that. And then you're in the lead because you introduce new material. Now, there's one thing in dynamic inquiry that allows you to escape that problem. And that is, I'm going to write it now as an inquiry. What, and I talked to you about using interrogatory, who, what, when, where, why, and how. We give you a get out of jail free card for this by asking the question, what's important? Now, notice I did not focus on any kind of content because I'm not even sure right now what the context is, where that these two sets of solutions are actually coming from. So what I want to do is I want to be careful that, number one, I don't want the lead. The helping, as remember, if I'm at a very concrete level of helping, then I have to take the lead. I have to do the transaction because the person's coming in and saying, where's the meal? However, if I'm working developmentally and I'm looking for PCC, potential capacity and capability, before I decide where the person is and where the problem might be found or if it could disappear, or do we really have to solve it? Expensive. Making it disappear, preventing it, getting rid of it without having to solve it is not as expensive in most cases. That is, unless you create bigger problems as a result of not solving it. There's always a caveat. At the same time, when I'm giving you a get out of jail free card with this question, because what it does is it tosses back the tension and any kind of, let's say, GPS information back to the entity or the person that's being helped. So let me go ahead and key this in and let's see what happens. I'm using my get out of jail free card. And also remember, importance is a part of IMO. And usually, if we're not talking about what's important, we're probably really in, let's just say, a sense where there are resources being changed on exchange. On one hand, my team, I'm coming to you with money, information, time, energy, attention, and motivation, and I'm getting something from you. I might be getting your my time. I might be getting information that will help me save or invest my team, all those kind of things. So again, the whole idea is what's important. Once we understand what's important, and the person is able to language that, then we know we should be talking about something or making inquiries or in interaction or even to some extent in a conversation, which you don't know where it's going to end up versus an interaction where there's an agenda. In this particular case, the only agenda I have is for the person to develop the PCC to prevent the problem from occurring in first place, which is a higher level voltage, or to at least find the right problem, the next problem, and do the next right thing, which is right action. So again, let's feed this to the person being helped here. Thought for a couple of seconds. What's important is finding a step that matches reality. Not the version of me that has unlimited time, energy, or uncertainty. Okay, I'm going to probably ask one or two more things because we've already processed this quite a bit, and I've already talked to you about a number of teachable points of view. And I'm suggesting if you're listening to me, you're probably feeling uneasy, you're feeling some tension because it's cognitive overload. At the same time, I think it helps you to be able to see what it is I'm seeing, and then learning to use this model help you see things that you didn't see before. Okay, so again, person being helped, what's important is finding a step that matches reality, not the version of me that has unlimited time, energy, or certainty. I had never expected to have this quality of exchanges with ChatGPT that would make me work so hard to restrain myself in this process about how to work with this particular thing. But it's wonderful because then I get to tell you all of these teachable points of view that are coming up here. So to me, what the person being helped said, and now I'm beginning to assume that we have more time together, that this is not necessarily a queue, and the people are not standing in line. This person may have contacted me. I may have run across them. I may know them, whatever it is. So let's say that we have some time, a little bit more time to invest in this particular process. Let's say that the person maybe has extended to you some form of exchange where it's up to you to help them figure out what this is. Okay. So let's do a couple of more exchanges. What's important is finding a step that matches reality, not the version of me that has unlimited time, energy, or uncertainty. Now, what I will tell you is this is bait. BAIT. Because while I sort of understand what this means, I do not think that I understand where the person being helped actually is. So I want to immediately restrain my own mind from jumping around, whacking moles and doing stuff like this, when in fact, anything that I did at this point that had to do with me pitting the tail on the donkey, in other words, meeting the person where they are, would be a guess. Well, and there's no reason to start guessing at this point. The thing is to create a response that causes the person being helped to show you their problem-solving system, to show you where it's coming from, to show you their PCC. So on one hand, you don't get too excited because the remarks are how would you, how, I want to say cryptic, but there's another thing that they're kind of they're not really hidden. I don't think it's being hidden. I just think that it's veiled. It may be shadowed, those kind of things, because the entity, the person being helped here, does not really come out and say what they mean. They're using language, and I think this is good because it helping me grasp for restraining myself that says, oh, that's what they're talking about, or oh, this is what they're talking about. So here's what I'm going to do. I don't want to take the bait in this particular response. So what I want to do is I want to push it back. Instead of me figuring out what the person being helped is saying, I want it to tell me. So I'm going to do something like this. Now, there's a reason for doing this. It doesn't choose the context. This is what's called a ping. I should be telling you what all these things are as we go through. This is a particular ping. And in the next session, what I'll do is I'll try to label each one of the things that I tell the person being helped, that I use in the person being helped, as to what form of inquiry that is. I've sort of been talking around it, but it's cryptic, so I'll be more specific. Can you explain? Now, in this particular case, there's several things that are happening here. Can you explain? Remember, no context has been chosen to work on yet, so this can't really be a probe. A probe is where the context is already revealed. And you could say in some abstract nature that there is a context here, but it's not enough of a context that I want to venture an assumption or even an assumption about what I should probe. In other words, based on what's on the table. So I'm going to ask the person being helped, rather than try to pretend like I know what it's doing, I'm going to ask to be helped. But that's not because I'm trying to understand what it's saying. You see, this is part of the bait. I'm not trying to understand what the person is saying. I'm trying to get the person to reveal where they are, so that I can then begin to make assumptions about PCC, so I can understand where they are, so I can begin to move my inquiry into a place that's not only going to assimilate with them, but it's going to help them deepen or how would I say it? Understand themselves or their own problems or why they may have come up with this as a reason, those kind of things like that. Now, I'm not introducing very much. Look how I framed it. Can. I want to see if the person being helped can do it. This is a shot at PCC, meeting them where they are. Can they explain, or are these comments coming from a place that's subjective and they don't really have their arms around it yet? Because that also gives me a clue about where I could go to help them in terms of their subjectivity, or whether it's whether getting subject to object is actually the game here, or whether or not there's something else that we need to do in that subjectivity. So there's a lot of things going on here. Can you explain? Let's load this and see what happens. This is what's called a ping. I'm sending sonar out to see if something is there. And if there's nothing there, of course I'm going to get something in this particular response, but if there's nothing there, I won't, the nothing will come back and I can move on. In other words, a ping is an assumption that I'm making that there's something out there. Okay, let's see what it is. Can you explain? Okay, a little bit longer thinking time that time. Yes, it means the first step should fit the actual situation, not an imagined perfect one. Okay, this is very interesting because what this is showing is that the complexity is not concrete. It's probably beginning to look at complexity. If we were to level it up with the MHC, Model of Hierarchical Complexity, which is the first component of voltage with the V, vertical, we know that this is more complex, that where this person is coming from a place that's more complex than concreteness, because everything here is abstracted. Now, are we at the abstract level, which is level 10? No, I don't think so. Are we at the formal level, the professional level at level 11? Let's see. Concrete, abstract. Level 9 is concrete, abstract. Formal. Yeah. Are we at kind of like a professional level where the person understands things and they're asking for help to get a certain kind of thing? I don't think so. They're actually at a level where they're modeling sort of what I would call meta. They're talking about something. They're not in it. They're of it. And so the complexity, the first thing I get in PCC is, oh, this is a little bit more complex than what you may see in an interaction like this. So I want to be circumspect. I want to be careful. I don't want to make too many assumptions right now because, yes, it means the first step should be fit the actual situation, not an imagined perfect one. That's showing that the entity actually has an ability to talk about stepping back from the actual situation and its own imagination of its expectations, perfect one. A real step is small, available, and doable without pretending there is more clarity, energy, or readiness than there really is. I'm going to close this off. I'm going to take just a couple, one more shot, and I'm going to close this off. What I'll say is this. Now you're going to say, what in the world is he doing? Is this about you? Well, the reason I said, is this about you, is I still don't have a context. So this is a ping. This is an assumption that came up in my thing. I wonder what this is about. Oh, well, sometimes it's really about the person who's struggling in transition between transactional work and transformational work, which is exactly kind of the complexity we're talking about. They're struggling between a formal system, imagined perfect one, an actual situation, which is the ability to hold two in the mind at once, somewhat paradoxically speaking, and begin to compare or contrast them. But what I can take a shot at right here, which is a freebie for me, without getting involved in, I don't know what the heck they're talking about. I don't know that, but I can stay out of that and I can ping this particular context to see what the response would be if I name this about them. Because one of the things that you differentiate between a system of systematic reasoning, which is that next level 12, and metasystematic reasoning is the person's position, not only ego position, their protector position, but also their position of understanding what is it that I normally do, imagine perfect expectations, and what is it that's actually happening? Well, there's an actual situation here, and maybe I should not take one or the other as true, but maybe I should contrast those. And in that particular response, you have to let go of you in the process because you have to be able to step back from you and begin to understand what's happening in terms of the whole process of the problem finding here. So again, let's go ahead and try this. No, not mainly. Oh, it's interesting. Not mainly. It's more about the pattern. The first step has to fit the actual person, moment, and conditions. Okay, I'm going to get out of this. See if I can seed the close here. Is this a good starting point for next time? So in this particular case, it seems like that there's a whole lot of stuff that could be unwound, but maybe it's a good idea to just let this percolate, let it gestate, depending on the type of person, the type dynamics, the problems of personality, all these kind of things. It might be good for them to sit on, no, not mainly, because whenever I see something like that, I go, oh. So it is a little bit about you. And then I want the person to be able to describe, well, what is it about me that's causing this? Because then that lets me know the person has self-knowledge or has awareness around, oh, I could be part of the process. So I'll have to either see myself as part of the process or I'll have to step back from that and realize that, no, it's not really about me. It's about this. And that's so what I'm going to do is seed the close. Let's see what happens. That's called seeding the close. And you notice that even though I've spent 3 years, I'll give you the response if you're on audio. Yes, it's a good starting point. The next session could begin with what would make the first step real enough to take that keeps the thread alive without overdeveloping it now. It also gives us a clean bridge from idealized action to right action under actual conditions. So again, when we're talking about a system. We haven't named it yet, per se, although there's some suggestions. But so this is showing you that we're really moving from that systematic where there are named systems, which it does name here, to the meta system, the meta systematic reasoning, which begins to talk about things. Okay. What's really interesting is the idea that it for 3 years I have tried to teach ChatGPT to resist using interrogatory. Well, and then it comes back in a demo session where we're teaching the program, and it comes back with a form of inquiry that for 3 years I've been trying to tell it to resist. So it's very interesting. One, it shows you that the pre-training out there is almost all interrogatory. That's what makes this system so unique. The idea being is that we resist interrogatory because it's transactional. Who, what, when, where, why, and how all depend on transaction. So you're solving a problem, you're trying to find out the interrogatory, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, and you're trying to solve the problem. Well, what I'm saying to you is, what problem are we solving here? There's not even a problem yet to be solved. Now, it does name it. That keeps the thread alive without overdeveloping it now, which is something that I've been resisting. It also gives us a clean bridge from idealized action to right action under actual conditions. So one thing is that I don't understand what idealized action to right action under the actual conditions actually means. And one of the things that I would do is not skip over that. So what it says to me, what would make the first step real enough to take? That assumes that there is a first step. There, that assumes that the first step could make it real, but that assumes that making it real is the issue. And to me, it's not necessarily the issue. So I would not use that question. At the same time, I will pick this up next time, and we will continue this process so that I can continue to be led by the process to teach you all of the things that I want to tell you about choosing forms of inquiry when you're in a process of helping. I hope that makes some sense. So we'll continue this next time, and I think it will be fun to come back and one, look at the after action review once we get the transcript, and two, then to be in, be able to go on into more of the process that that continues to reveal the teachable points of view that begin to talk about the ways in which, as a helper, you can be present to help in all kinds of layers, levels, and phases of a person's helping needs, so to speak, their developmental needs and wants. Okay? So we'll stop it right there. We'll see what happens in the AAR, and we'll see you in the next practical.